10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome in to the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Thursday morning. Appreciate our friend Luke Bryan for setting the tone, bringing us in with that lovely national anthem. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Yeah, that's a real beautiful day to start your beautiful way to start your day. Thanks, Luke. Next time, duet with Miss Piggy.
Where's Carl Lewis when you need him?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We need to get Carl Lewis into rotation.
We do. We absolutely do. And I would say Roseanne too. I mean, yeah. Roseanne's, you know, one time.
Yes.
Here and there.
Would be good stuff. Keiser, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing well. Had fun last night making my fantasy football picks. Had two drafts last night that ended precisely right when I needed it to. So that was nice.
Yeah, so Keiser, so we're sitting there, the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League last night, which, by the way, shout out to our league members and shout out to Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Great hospitality. Really appreciated them having us last night. We had a great time with the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football Draft. So, Keiser, you know, we're in a 12-team league. So, the draft, I mean, it started at 7. And Joey probably took, I don't know, 8:15, 8:30, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yep.
And then Keiser fires up at like 8 o'clock this 6-team draft and is done in like 15 minutes. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anybody do a 6-team fantasy football league before in my life.
Yeah,
Yeah, I've been in a 10-team league before, and it, like, every team is insanely loaded. Like, they're, you know, like, it's just tremendous. Like, I'm trying to imagine what a 6-team league would be like. And one-third of the league auto-drafted, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
So, you know, I mean, you know, like, I don't know, San Francisco's defense went like the 7th round in that thing. So, Keiser, you should win that league.
I sure hope so. All right.
We'll see how it goes. You have to keep us updated. Again, appreciate everybody that came out to Twin Peaks last night. The Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football Draft. I have tweeted out a nice video of it at @rstanleynhl, featuring largely Kuharski, who was a homer and took Tajay Spears in the draft last night. So there is that. Also took Derrick Henry. Yeah. So big Titans pom pom waiver, Paul Kuharski. Well, I guess now yeah. Baltimore Ravens.
And talked a lot of trash, but that's what he does, you know. And then very rarely, I mean, I can't ever remember Kuharski winning a league. But he talks a lot of trash, though.
He talks a lot. He does. There's no doubt about that. We will not have Charles Robinson today. Charles Robinson normally joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. He will be traveling to Kansas City. So we're going to effort to get Charles back on hopefully tomorrow. But if not, we'll figure something out, maybe in addition to what he does next week. So we'll effort that with Charles. But if you're looking forward to Charles coming up at 8 o'clock, will not be joining us today. He will be in the air at that time, heading to Kansas City. And he's heading to Kansas City, Joe, because the NFL is back. It's football time tonight. The Ravens taking on the Chiefs. The official launch of the quest for the three-peat for Kansas City tonight, coming up at Arrowhead against the team that many, not everyone, but many think is their biggest threat in the AFC, including, I believe, Joe Rexroad, who has picked the Baltimore Ravens to win the Super Bowl. Joe, what do you make of this matchup, and in terms of season openers, what's the Joe Rex Road scale of excitement for this one, Baltimore taking on Kansas City?
It's pretty high, for sure. I mean, you can't ask for too much of a better matchup than this. You know, coming right out with the AFC Championship game, combatants, of course, hugely disappointing outcome in that game, getting the game at home for the Ravens. But, you know, the Chiefs, man, you know, heck of a run from them. They played their best football at the best time last year. The Ravens could not run the ball against a really good Chiefs defense. You know, I mean, that's the thing about the Chiefs is that they have a really good defense now. So the Ravens add Derrick Henry, and that's my number one, you know, point of excitement is just to see what it looks like with Derrick Henry in that offense with Lamar Jackson. I mean, last year when we were wondering, is this it for Derrick Henry? That was the team that I kept talking about. You know, I think it would be, and the Eagles secondarily, which of course they have their own star running back coming in this year, but I'm really excited to see what that looks like. And maybe the Ravens can kind of do what the Lions did. I know the Lions didn't get to the Super Bowl, but they get that win at Kansas City to kind of launch their season a year ago, and have a magical season. I think the Ravens are that team.
I would love that. Beyond the obvious of just the first NFL game of the season, the Thursday night opener, I mean, the numbers are always great for this game, and they will be again tonight. I would love to know, like, specifically for Titans fans, how much interest is there for you in nothing else other than just watching Henry play and watching Derrick Henry play in another uniform, even if it is a Baltimore Ravens uniform. And even if you've been a Titans fan for a considerable amount of time, that can be very painful for you to watch him in a Baltimore Ravens uniform. I mean, I got to say, look, I'm excited for the matchup. It's the first game of the NFL season, so I'm going to watch it from start to finish, really, no matter who's playing. But the Derrick Henry thing for me does add a level of intrigue. You know, I am very quickly approaching, and I think I may already be there, Kansas City Chiefs fatigue. And it really has nothing to do with, like, I don't dislike Mahomes. I don't dislike Kelsey. I don't dislike Andy Reid. But, you know, every time they win another game and another game and another game and then another Super Bowl, I think that's going to become more and more of a thing this year with the general public, is Kansas City Chiefs fatigue.
Yeah, like, they're pretty likable. Although I know some people get sick of like the whole Taylor Swift thing, so there's that aspect of it too. And also then they have the little weirdo kicker who wants women to bake him baked goods and stay in the kitchen. So they got some, you know, they got some unlikable elements on their team. But they got some, but Andy Reid, I mean, you can't not like Andy Reid, right?
I don't think so.
But I'm with you. Yeah, but I'm with you that there is definite fatigue. And look, if they were to win it this year, you're talking about making history. You're talking about doing something that no one's ever done in this league. And there are a lot of reasons it's very difficult, including like just playing that many more football games than other people, you know, year after year. Like, that would catch up with, like, sometimes with, like, you know, basketball and hockey teams too, that, you know, eventually it's like, man, we've played like 20 more games than anybody else. It's not that deep, but in football, it's a totally different deal. But yeah, I'm with you. But I think there's also some Ravens fatigue out there. And there's also, from the Titans fans' perspective, that's a really interesting question. Is like, are you excited for Derrick Henry? Are you kind of cringing at the thought of seeing him in this uniform? You know, I know he's technically worn it, I guess. I don't even know if he got a carry. Did he get a carry in the preseason? I think he dressed at least for a game.
Don't know that he did.
You know, but you're going to see the full Derrick Henry on another team tonight. Can you cheer for him while understanding that you hate the Ravens? You know, cue Kaharski screaming at the top of his lungs about that. But,
yeah,
I mean, that is an emotional conflict for Titans fans.
It is. And, you know, beyond the Derrick Henry part of it, like, can the Ravens – not that – because we're going to hear this a lot. Here comes the revenge game for Baltimore. Well, if your revenge game is in – early September, that's probably not good for you. So I never really buy into revenge stuff from the playoffs the year before. You get your revenge in the playoffs. So we'll see if they can do that at some point. But I mean, it is going to be interesting. Like, can Baltimore go on the road and get a statement win early on? I'm really fascinated to see it. Now, you know, we saw Kansas City lose this game last year to Detroit. Now, they didn't have Travis Kelce or Chris Jones in that game, I don't believe. So two pretty big losses for them there. They should be reasonably healthy heading into this one. So a little bit of a different situation. But, you know, a big test for Baltimore early on. I think they answered some questions last year about, like, you know, the Lamar, can he win in the playoffs thing? Well, I mean, he won a playoff game again last year. And then he just wasn't quite good enough against Patrick Mahomes. Get in line. There are a lot of people that haven't been good enough against Patrick Mahomes. So can you get an early season statement? And if so, like, what does it actually mean? Like, if Baltimore waltzes in there tonight and wins, what does that actually mean in terms of the pecking order in the AFC?
Right. Yeah, and to your point, you know, last year, the Lions, that was a bit of a tainted victory. They had a good season. So, but it was, you know, it helps to not have basically the two difference makers on both sides of the ball, other than Mahomes, not in that game. So, yeah. But, you know, I think it's important for Baltimore. And look, Baltimore is, I think that this year, you I think you picked Cincinnati, right, to win that division?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, they're I think that's going to be a great race between those two teams. I think they're going to separate themselves in what has in some years been probably as good a division as you can find top to bottom. So every game's important too. But, you know, I think it is important just for to make some kind of a statement that, you know, that this team is going to be right back where they were. We all expect the Chiefs to be there. I don't think it's nearly as unanimous in terms of the Ravens getting there, even though they've been, to me, you know, you talk about a consistent franchise. What's the more consistent franchise than that franchise over two decades?
Yeah, it's been pretty wild to see just how often they're in the mix. Liam on the text line says, if I rubbed a magic lamp and a genie popped out and offered three wishes, I would strongly consider wishing the Ravens would never win another game. This is from Liam on the text line. A true Titans fan there. I still contend that with the old school fans, Ravens are the biggest rival. Not the Colts, not the Jags, not the Texans. It's the Ravens.
Yeah, well, and it's not like you even have to be old school to have good playoff history, good and bad with them, right? But obviously, if you have any sense of history, I mean, they've delivered the most misery to the Titans by far.
There's no doubt about that. By the way, FanDuel got a new boost kicking in at 7 a.m. today here at local time, so make sure you take advantage of that. It is boost season, a new boost going in today at 7 o'clock. The boost is this: Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson to combine for 450-plus passing yards. It is boosted from minus 185 to plus 120. So make sure you take advantage of that on FanDuel Sportsbook. 615-737-1025.
Right?
You would think. I mean, is Mahomes going to get 300 of that by himself? I think I think that could happen. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, a nice old, just new pile of disrespect for the Titans to rub their hands in before they get to Chicago coming up on Sunday. We'll have more on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is opening day here in the NFL. Baltimore taking on Kansas City tonight. We'll have Philadelphia and Green Bay tomorrow from Brazil. And then it's opening Sunday, where the Tennessee Titans will be taking on the Chicago Bears. We'll take your thoughts on that game and that matchup all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, heading into that matchup, some more nice and juicy disrespect for the Titans to just really lay their hands into before they get to this game. Now, we know there's a lot of buzz around Caleb Williams heading into all this. We've talked about that all week. We've also talked about how most people that you look at, most of the prognosticators, if you will, do not expect the Tennessee Titans to be very good heading into this season. I've seen a lot of 6-11. I've seen a lot of 7-10. I've seen some 5-12. A lot of people expect the Titans to be pretty bad. And apparently, Joe, that includes NFL executives, five of which have ranked the AFC at the Athletic. And the Titans, as you look at these rankings, come in 14th in the AFC. So Kuharski was talking yesterday about how he might see them as low as 11 in the AFC. He said you could maybe make an argument up to 8. The executives have them at 14th. So I'll go through the list quickly. Chiefs at 1, obviously. Then the Ravens, the Bengals, the Texans, the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins. There's your top 7. Jacksonville at 8, the Chargers at 9, the Browns at 10, Broncos at 11, Steelers, Colts, Titans at 14. And then the only two teams below the Titans are the Raiders and the Patriots. And of these 5 executive votes, Joe, the highest vote they got was 9th. There was a 13th, a 14th, or excuse me, 2 14ths, and 1 14th, 2 15ths, if I could read. So, not very high expectations, even from executives, as it relates to the Tennessee Titans, have them as the 14th best team in the AFC. Your reaction to this heading into week 1 for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, and not only that, so basically all but, so 80%, I know it's not, you know, it's not everybody in the league, but you know, it's pretty decent sample size, 80% think they're going to be absolutely terrible. And the funny thing about this is the one who is quoted is the one who actually had them ninth, who says, the first thing he says is, quote, "I don't think the quarterback is good enough."
Yep.
Then he goes on about offensive skill. He does this exec did say, quote, "I think their offensive line is in the top half of the league." Now that's interesting. I guess that explains why, you know, why he would have the Titans ninth. You know, the thing about that is, Robbie, I mean, this is where, you know, like we have to remember our limitations, right? Like I know about some of the really good offensive lines in the league. Like the Lions have a great offensive line, you know, Eagles are, yeah, but like, I don't know. Once you get into like after the top handful of like really good ones, who the heck knows, right?
Right.
I mean, I think, but that's probably a guess for Bill Callahan. I mean, that's sight unseen on J.C. Latham. That's knowing that Cushenberry's good, seeing some of Skaronski, and then, you know, sight unseen on the right side too. But it's just an interesting comment. And then he kind of goes through the rest of the roster, you know, on Simmons and Sweat and all that stuff. But again, quote, "I don't think the quarterback is good enough," and that's the optimistic guy of the Titans.
Well, and then especially when you combine it, when he goes into, "Hey, well, they've got offensive skill players, and they got two pretty explosive running backs, top half of the league offensive line, Devondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, going to be good." It seems like they're a big fan of most things with the Titans, other than the quarterback. So,
right.
I mean, the expectation for Will Levis is clearly low heading into this season in terms of the outside noise. It could not be more opposite when you listen to Brian Callahan talk about Will Levis and his preparedness for the season. And really, I mean, that's been consistent with Brian Callahan basically from the jump of him being here and him being around Will Levis and working together. So, Joe, there's a disconnect somewhere. It's either with the NFL world at large and the executives and the national media, or it's with Brian Callahan, and I don't know which one it is yet, but the expectations for Will Levis, generally speaking, heading into this from the outside, are incredibly low, and that has to be the main reason why the Titans are picked to be as bad as they're picked to be around the league.
Yeah, and you know the interesting thing on that is, like you said, there's a disconnect, and obviously Callahan, look, I believe everything Brian Callahan has said in terms of like his excitement about Levis, his belief in his talent, and the certainly the work that he's seen him do, right? I mean, he's in the building with him. He's on the practice field with him. So he's seen him do all these things. I'd like to know still, like, how much – because, look, he has never coached in a game as a head coach or called plays, but also he has obviously never seen Will Levis in the real game situation. How much is Callahan, you know – on you know, waiting to find out. I mean, yeah. There's no way to quantify it, but you know what I mean? Like, how confident is he versus just like curious about just if it will all come together for Levis on Sunday or not? And of course, Sunday and beyond. That's one interesting question. But also, it's like, I mean, I think like stuff like this is, it happens a fair amount. You know, a couple guys came to mind for me, like, you know, Jared Goff. It's a different situation, right? But Jared Goff, you think about like the perception of him in this league, and it's just been wild swings. And I understand, like, it's not like it's not that that follows reality. He had incredible success with the Rams, but then no one wanted to give him credit for it, right? And then he was discarded, right? And it was like at one point it looked like the Rams traded in a Pinto for a Beamer, yep, right, with Stafford. And now, I mean, these latest quarterback tiers, Goff is number 10 on them, you know?
Shout out to the Pintos, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, if you touch them, they might blow up. But Kirk Cousins, another guy who I think league-wide, and I understand I'm a Cousins homer, but like league-wide there has been this just general blah, you know, sort of malaise with Cousins for years. You know, I think it's gotten a little better. But still, this whole, like, how is that guy paid that well? He's not very good. But then teams keep paying him, and he keeps, like, performing at a high level and winning for the most part. You know, those are just a couple examples that come to mind of quarterbacks where, like, there's a local versus national disconnect in the reality of the QB.
Yeah, and I would let, like, if you're a Titans fan, do you like this? Like, do you like, I mean, disrespect, I guess, is the word, I mean, for lack of a better term, that Will Levis is getting. Now, you know, I say disrespect. He's not done really much of anything in the league yet to earn it. Now, he did have the comeback win against Miami, and he had about as good of a debut as you can have against Atlanta. So it's not like there's no body of work in the NFL. But if you're a Titans fan, like, do you like this heading into this year, that there's so much disrespect being thrown your quarterback's way? Or does it just annoy the heck out of you that obviously the national discourse among Levis is that everybody thinks he's going to be bad? I would love to know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, at least the good news is, like, we're about to actually see football, so we can stop, and, you know, and he'll either validate what they're saying, or at some point people are going to have to, you know, start taking notice. Good question on the text line. How different would the ranking be if Tannehill were the QB? I guess my answer to that would be Tannehill when. You know, like, obviously a couple of years ago, things looked a lot better for Tannehill than, like, they did at the end.
Right.
But I will say, I you think about Ryan Tannehill. Would Ryan Tannehill like to take a crack behind with Bill Callahan coaching offensive line, with J.C. Latham, with Ridley and Boyd joining Hopkins, you know, with two backs catching passes? Would he like to have a shot at I mean, this is a much better group around the quarterback on paper than he had at the end of his tenure here in Nashville.
So five executives, as interviewed by The Athletic, have the Titans with their, I guess, conglomeration of picks here, finishing 14th in the AFC. Only the Raiders and the Patriots are worse on this list. We'll take your reaction to that, and we'll take your reaction to, clearly, the executives and others don't think Will Levis is good enough at quarterback. Do you agree? Do you strongly disagree? And how does it make you feel if you're a Titans fan of the disrespect for Will Levis heading into the season? All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 2:30 for our college football game of the week. Iowa State taking on Iowa, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home with 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. I know Rex Road's fired up for Iowa State, Iowa, this weekend. We live football.
Oh, my goodness. You better believe it.
What a battle.
I forget what they play. What do they play for? It's like is it the Homeland Trophy or something like that?
Sure, that sounds good.
Yeah, and it's like, you got to Google it. I'll find it. It's like the most busy, bizarre trophy. It's like someone helping someone while planting corn or something. I don't know. It's truly spectacularly goofy.
It's the Cy-Hawk trophy.
Oh, yeah, it's Cy-Hawk trophy. What the heck am I talking about?
I don't know, but there is a lot going on in this trophy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not quite Farmageddon, which is the greatest name in college football, which is the name of the Iowa-Nebraska game, yes. Farmageddon. But, no, actually, I am. That's a sneaky, exciting game coming up here Saturday.
Very much looking forward to it. A lot of reaction to Will Levis. The Titans ranked 14th in the AFC by five executives via theathletic.com. Will Levis, a lot of disrespect getting into all this. Lee from Lebanon says, we never get the respect. We never have. Honestly, in 19, I think the team just feasts on it. It gives us fuel for the fire. Lenny says, it's all just speculation on their part. An educated guess at best, but I believe in Will Levis and the new coaches and the team. I believe the Titans will prove them wrong. We have a lot of those texts to the same as Lenny there. Terrell says, I disagree. I don't understand how the executives can rank three starting rookie quarterbacks ahead of Levis. The Titans will take on the disrespect and use this energy for motivation. Now, to be fair, they do have the Patriots below the Titans, and many of these rookies starting are in the NFC. So just keep that in mind.
Fair point. So I'm going to go to Daryl in Hendersonville. It's amazing to me how invested Titans fans are in the opinions of others. Who gives a damn what an NFL executive or media member thinks about how the Titans will do? Respect is earned. Winning, you're in. Nothing else matters. Predictions are meaningless. Get a life, Titans fans.
There you go.
So hey, look, that first of all, it is a great thing. I mean, you go out and play, and that's that. But this reminds me of, like, every year there's, like, in college football, you know, some team like Florida State will lose, and, you know, they were preseason top five or whatever, and people are like, this is why we need to get rid of the polls. And it's like, no, because this is what – I mean, I know that I'm in media saying this, but, like, this is – we like to talk – imagine if you actually took them out. Like, imagine if you actually tried to take out preseason polls.
Right.
Then the 95% of people who say nothing when that happens are like, dude, what are you talking about? I want my preseason poll. You know, I want to know what people think about this. First of all, you don't know everything about every other team, right? So you depend on that information to try to get an idea of how your team fits into things. So I hear you, Daryl, but also I think it's fun for Titans fans. Like when, like if Levis is good, then the Titans are going to get more. Like if the Titans have a, I remember when Vince Young had his rookie of the year, oh, right? Yeah. I heard a lot about the Titans. And again, I understand some Titans fans will be like, I don't give a crap. You know, it's just, I want my team to win. But I mean, it is fun to have your team talked about in shows and respected out there. It's not the most important thing, but yeah, it does matter. Whether you like it or not, it matters.
I got a text that says, it annoys me more that Anthony Richardson is getting such high praise and Will Levis is getting nothing in the national media, where Levis, in my opinion, has shown more than Anthony Richardson. We have talked about that on the program. Now, to be fair, in this executive poll here, Colts are 13, Titans are 14. So they got them right there together. We even had, there was even one executive that had the Colts at 15th while they had the Titans at 14th. So Titans and Colts kind of right there sandwiched together in this one.
What did the guy who had the Titans ninth have him? Had the Colts.
Let's see here.
Because you know, the Colts 14th? Probably hasn't. Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, so it's not everybody. Richardson, I mean, the thing with Richardson is there's a wide range with him. There's definitely a lot of people out there speaking concern into the ether, you know, and which is warranted, you know, the health and all that stuff. But obviously there's more excitement about the ceiling. And I get that. You know, I do get that. But just the general dismissal of Levis, I think, has been a little, you know, it's I just think it speaks to everybody can't watch everybody. And if you're not going to watch somebody last year, Titans are going to be high on that list of somebody you're not going to watch.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the quote in this piece on Richardson is pretty interesting from the executive. It says, quote, by putting the Colts at 15, I'm saying I do not think Anthony Richardson is a legitimate quarterback in the NFL. But if he does have success, they will be one of the top four or five teams in the AFC. So that's quite a range right there. And it shows you how important quarterback is.
If the players, I'm not sure, are good, are really good, I think the team will be really good.
I think they will be better.
Hmm.
If the players that I think are terrible
analysis
turn out to not be terrible, but in fact are good, then I think that will change how they finish. That's what we learned.
Yeah, thank you. Lenny says they have Mayo envy. Yeah. Could again. Be. Like if Levis is good, like it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, like the Titans are actually going to be, the Titans are actually going to be talked about a lot, and they just haven't had, you know, Mariota was the hopeful hopeful franchise QB, but he didn't have that personality that Levis has already kind of put out there. So if you like that sort of thing, you'll like it, especially because it's only going to happen if he's good.
Well, and at the end of the day, you know, it comes regardless of what the noise is. Can he play? Like, can he play football? Can he consistently deliver the football accurately? I mean, you've talked about that basically since he was drafted. Can you get to the point where you're not missing throws that you should make? You're not, you know, nobody's going to be perfect out there, but there's no bad turnovers. You're trusting what you're seeing out there. And your accuracy is at a consistent enough level where you can play high-level quarterback in the NFL, because that's part of what it takes to play high-level quarterback in the NFL is you have to consistently put the football exactly where it needs to be over and over and over again. And that's the part of it with Levis that I still don't think we know or anybody else knows yet.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, And, you know, yesterday Brian Callahan was asked, okay, is it more, I think it was Glennon who asked him, is it more physical or more mental, you know, when it comes to like the progress? And Callahan has been consistent in saying, you know, it's, and I get it, like it's more mental, right? It's the offense, it's qu- quickly seeing things. It's the operation, all that stuff. And he said he's come a long way, you know? So obviously, like, you have to still get yourself to the point of being able to deliver the ball. Then can you do it, right? Seems to me like Levis has done the work, you know, and is in pretty good position with the offense and all that. But that's still something we'd find out too. It's, again, it's game plan against game plan, you know, on the road in a atmosphere like he'll see Sunday. And I know he's played in the league, but it's still a lot of things that he hasn't had, a lot of different elements. So, I mean, it's just so much to discover. Real quick on this text, which is always a great point, because I love these things with execs talking. I think there's good insight in there and all that, but this texture says, quote, if there's anything I've learned through the years, it's that NFL executives are not very good at evaluating talent, LOL. I mean, think about it. Like, all these guys make tons of mistakes with their own roster, and we, you know, we expect them to, like, have a good idea for, like, a roster in, like, the other conference.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's, yeah. So, there's limitations.
There's limitations. There's no doubt about it. And look, you know, they could be exactly right. That's the beauty of it. Like, we're going to find out this year of how good are the Titans, how good is Will Levis. I do enjoy just the way it's listed out in this, though, is pretty funny. Of, you know, skill positions are pretty good. I think their offensive line might be top half of the league defensively. They're tough physical defensively, baby. I don't know about that quarterback, though. Man, that quarterback, just don't know. It's laid out pretty funny.
Yeah, liking everything, basically, and still picking them two spots away from the playoffs because of the quarterback.
Also, the finishing sentence. They got Quandre Diggs, a solid player, and L'Jarius Sneed, who is good. Thank you. He is good.
Yes.
See if he can stay on the field. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best things and the worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as we do every week, go ahead and kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Thank you. I will leave. I mean, I think the overarching best, but certainly if you guys want to do it, is, you know, NFL's tonight. I mean, like that's a gimme, right? But I'll go more with things that have happened in the last week, and I'll keep it to two in-state sporting collegiate programs. Best, I'm going with Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia in particular, but Vanderbilt beating Virginia Tech, looking fun, showing that, yes, what some people have been talking about for a long time, that Vanderbilt has to be a little different, in particular on offense, you know, to sort of make up for some of the talent gaps that they will see that they saw Saturday and beat in a team they beat in Virginia Tech. That is a talented team. And of course that they will see moving forward. As you say, just a blast. The offense is a blast. Pavia is a blast. By the way, I wrote a nice story about him at the Athletic today.
Oh, yeah,
just want to let you know. But just an awesome surprise, and really one of the best games of week one too. And I'm in on continuing to watch this team. Like, we'll see. They should be able to handle business until they get to SEC play. And then, like, I'm really interested to see them go, like, to Missouri and see if this offense can cause headaches for teams. You know, the last two Power 5 teams this offense has played, obviously they just beat Virginia Tech. They go into Auburn and win 31-10 last year. Pavia just destroyed them, and that's why he's at Vanderbilt. And so that's just a ton of fun, and good for Vanderbilt fans for actually having things to look forward to in the fall right now. My worst, Penny Hardaway in Memphis. if people haven't known, he just fired four more staffers, but then there were others who left. There's another investigation. There's an anonymous letter, and it's just investigation after investigation for a program that's already on probation. All this headache and trouble for a guy who has one NCAA win and two NCAA bids. I mean, I understand that Memphis loves Penny. There's an emotional connection there. There's a history there. But, you can find a coach who can do this well or better and not get you in constant trouble with the NCAA, which we don't even care about NCAA investigations anymore. And still, it's just you're falling all over yourself to create more trouble for yourself. It's about time here. Okay. So that's my worst in sports.
Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, real quick, as my best, in light of Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau passing away, one thing I thought was cool from someone that's just close to him, Cole Caulfield with the Montreal Canadiens. He's going to wear 13 moving forward to kind of honor Johnny's legacy,
yep,
someone that he looked up to. So in light of that tragedy, it was really cool to see that he wanted to honor him moving forward in his career. An honorable mention for me, by the way, is that Vanderbilt also got 8 AP votes, by the way, Joe. So just wanted to throw that in there as well. My worst, and this unfolded yesterday, and this has to do with my Hilltoppers. WKU and EKU are playing this weekend.
Okay.
And Walt Wells ended up, I think he reacted to a tweet as well yesterday, but I don't remember what he said. But here's the basic story real quick. So Western opted to have a whiteout for this weekend's game against EKU, and that was told back on July 10th.
Okay.
All right. EKU has flexed the rule because apparently, and I didn't know this, and if you guys knew, great, but if not, here's what it says. So EKU has the right as the away team to pick what they're going to wear first, and then Western can. But Western knew that they would be wearing white on this game anyway. So EKU told them yesterday, nah, we're going to wear white. So they have completely screwed the white out. Not only that, but the fans are still going to do the white out. And in this, in this little release from Western, they said that our football game themes and promotions, they were announced back on July 10th. And by the way, we're still encouraging our fans to wear white to the game.
I mean, I kind of love everything about that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I love the pettiness of the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's college football right there, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And Walt Wells just goes, lies. Don't know anything about it.
That's Big Joe's boy. We'll have to get an answer.
Yes. I think I need some Wells on Big Joe's show explaining
this. We need to figure it out.
I want some Q&A, Big Joe.
I mean, I kind of love it. I kind of love everything about that. My best thing in sports, I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds of nerdy numbers here to throw your way. I'll throw it to you like this. We were wondering if we were ever going to see another golfer as good as Tiger Woods. The answer is yes. Now, there's a difference between playing as well and then ultimately greatness. And I don't know that we're ever going to see the greatness of Tiger Woods again and the draw and just the aura. That's going to be tough to ever replicate. But if you go through Scottie Scheffler's last 2 years, just by the numbers, he just had a scoring average this season of 68.01, which is the best ever, lower than Tiger's in 2000 of 68.17. There's a stat called tee to green, and it kind of lists out, and they showed this on the broadcast the other day. It was 2000 Tiger Woods, and then it was 2023 Scottie Scheffler, 2024 Scottie Scheffler, 2006 Tiger Woods, 2008 Tiger Woods. There are a lot of the numbers are really, really comparable between the two. Now, he's got two majors, so he's got a long way to go when it comes to the major championship part of this. But in terms of on-the-course performance, it's pretty close. So that's my best thing in sports. Scheffler winning $25 million, by the way, on Sunday. So pretty good day for him. A lot of money that he's stacking up all of a sudden. My worst thing is the Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Gaudreau passing. Just terrible. And it was confirmed last Friday while we were on the air. Just an awful, awful situation. There's been a ton of stories coming out this week about Gaudreau and both Johnny and Matthew and just some of the things that they were involved with. And, just the fact that their sister was supposed to get married that day. I mean, it's a brutal, brutal situation. There was a really nice kind of candlelight vigil that the Blue Jackets put together yesterday. And I saw the Flames kind of responded as well and had one outside their arena. Lots of people showing up to both of them and just awful. It's the worst thing in sports in a while. Bad stuff.
Yeah, worst thing in sports and beyond.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. William says the best is Go Diego Go, Diego Pavia. William also shouting out DirecTV and Disney for the worst in sports. A lot of DirecTV people very upset, Joe Rexroad.
That's a good call.
The ESPN has not been available.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. And honestly, I don't give a crap. Like, you know, these companies get into this back and forth and blame each other. I mean, it's just greed. I blame them both. And it's just, you know, obviously we know who gets screwed.
We do. So. Now, you know, apparently Sparks found it in Spanish the other day. So I don't know where he found that. But if you need some advice on how to watch the games, apparently Adam Sparks is your guy.
There's definitely a lot of there's definitely a lot of streaming options out there that are not, I guess, that are not, you know, supposed to be legal or whatever. That's what he did. I have no idea.
I have an honorary worst in sports that is obviously way less serious than the worst in sports that I threw out there. I will say the Tennessee fans continuing to get all over this kid from NC State about the practice comment that he made of the ball lining up on the hash. Is a little bit ridiculous.
No, they're not.
Now there was some NC State like fan account yesterday that threw out this hype video, and it basically was just making fun of Nico, like in his pajama pants, and saying that they run things with class and that he's arrogant and all this other stuff. And Tennessee fans jumped all over that. And that one's a little bit more. You can jump on that one, and that has nothing to do with the actual football players that put that out there. But the jumping on the kid for saying that. They're practicing, and it could be a little bit easier in the game because they know at least what hash it's going to be on is a little bit ridiculous. Come on, guys.
What percentage of Tennessee fans who watched that video took it as disrespect?
I mean, if Twitter is any indication, which is always it's always a huge caveat in that we know it's not, a lot of people are very upset about it.
I mean, but like – of all the Tennessee fans in the world who have watched that video, I would bet you that 96% are like, what? Okay. Yeah, he's saying that they're just trying to practice and make it hard to get ready for tempo. And then 4% are morons who tweet constantly. Like, that has to be, right?
I don't know. I just know that, you know, Vol Twitter continues to be undefeated. And I will say, if that kid gets dusted on Saturday night by, like, Dante Thornton or somebody, I mean, Twitter's going to explode, regardless of if it was right or wrong.
Well, no, but it's got to be like, if they watch that film, and if that kid is not exactly lined up on every single step. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
God, man.
It's pretty good.
Follow Twitter. Like, you have plenty of people who hate you, okay? Like,
There's no doubt.
You should not have to manufacture these things.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Speaking of the Vols and speaking of that game, people are starting to think that Tennessee is just going to absolutely moonwalk all over NC State in this game. Do we agree with that? And is that a good thing for Josh Heupel heading into this? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.